This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, this Sunday, a lot of people have the Cowboys slated to take this one pretty easily. And I know there are a number of people that are like, hey, pump the brakes on this. Amari Cooper's one of those people. He's like, hey, they don't stink. They're not terrible.
No, that's not true.
But I understand where he's coming from. If you go in with a mindset of this is just a bad team and all we have to do is show up and roll the ball out there, then you're not going to give your best. You're not going to give your A game out there. So he wants to make sure his team is on that level of being an Alabama-type mindset. Look, let's go blow them out by 600, and then we can say that they stunk. And so the question, though, for a lot of people, for us right now, the question to you is 877-881-1053, when will the Cowboys lose their first game this season? Go look at the schedule. If you're driving, you know, just kind of ask somebody to tell you the schedule. But go look at the Cowboys' schedule and tell us when you think the Cowboys will lose. Because, Kevin, it's possible it could happen anytime. But if the Cowboys have the mindset that they need to have, they could go undefeated this year. I really think it, man.
Really?
I think that they're that kind of build.
Holy smokes.
But I don't know if they have that mindset. That's the thing. They haven't seen adversity yet, so I haven't seen them struggle through adversity.
All right. I just want to address the thing about Amari Cooper. I think it's good that he has that philosophy. Me as a fan, I don't need to do that.
Well, and Jerry and Steven have it too. You know, Jerry and Steven came on our air today and both said, you know, kind of the same things about, look, if you treat a team this way, then this is going to happen. It's all about your mindset stepping on the field. But you're right. Fans don't have to look at it and say, oh, my team can't beat that sorry team that can't score, that gets scored 150 to nothing every day.
I believe the game's already over and we will annihilate them. I, as a fan, can carry that mindset because you know what matters about my mindset on Sunday? Nothing. I just need to listen to the game. That's all I have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And next week you can show up to Hero down in downtown at Victory Park and we will all be hanging out there for the Saints game and we can all cheer as they're going up against the Saints.
So, I think you're partially going to, some people are going to partially like my answer, and then a lot of people are going to hate my answer.
You think they're losing to Green Bay?
Nope.
All right.
I don't think they're losing to Miami. I don't think they're losing to New Orleans.
You think they're losing to the Eagles?
Yep. So, and I know that goes against probably conventional wisdom because that's a home game, but I think now, I mean, we all kind of concurred that like if the Cowboys didn't start the season 3-0, you'd probably be kind of concerned. Well, now I look at that road game against the Saints team that without Drew Brees, you're not particularly scared of. The Green Bay Packers haven't looked very good this year, and Aaron Rodgers' time as an elite player is over. Then you get a Jets team that is, you know, they're almost as bad as the Dolphins with no quarterbacks. So I think that the Cowboys, I honestly believe they're going to make it to 6-0. And then I think they're going to lose to Philly at home, and then I think they're going to get that win back on the road in the next to last game of the season to clinch the division. So I'm going Cowboys win 6 before they lose a game. From the 972, 16-0, enough said. Not enough said, because that means we lose in the divisional round. Ooh. So you need to make us 19-0 if that's the case.
From the 940, first L this week. Cooper wouldn't be addressing a mindset if it didn't already exist. Just saying. So, Kevin, and I need you to think about that for a second. He brings this up. Does he bring it up because he wants to add on to the idea of, look, we are 2-0, but 2-0 is not our goal? You know, because that's a Nick Saban mindset, right? Look, anything we've done is not good enough.
Sure.
And so I wonder if he's addressing it, bringing it up, because he's looking at practice and saying, this is not how this team should be practicing.
Okay, if it makes people feel better, I do not believe that's why it came up. I believe it came up because people have been asking them all week about this. So I think he's just answering and addressing a slew of questions.
Okay.
It would be different if like Amari Cooper unprompted just gave a statement and he was like, I just want to tell everybody out there. Then I'd be like, hold on, what
or
the hell's going on?
If he just stood up in the middle of the locker room and started yelling at everybody.
If somebody was recording somehow.
Yeah, and he just out of nowhere and nobody'd asked a question about it. And he's like, have y'all seen this as practice we've been doing out here? But that's not the way he approached it. So I can totally understand the way you're saying it. But you know what? Every once in a while, I think it's good to get a reminder, especially from one of your leaders. Because Amari Cooper is one of their leaders. He's got to be that kind of guy that lets everybody know, I'll lead. Y'all can follow if you want to, but you got to follow the way I do things. And I think that he wants everybody on that. And plus, missing a few guys, somebody's going to have to step up too. So it's not going to be as easy without Gallup out there.
From the 940, the Packers are 2-0 with a legit defense. You aren't paying attention. You aren't paying attention either. Mm-hmm. Because did I say anything about their defense? No. I said I think Aaron Rodgers' time as an elite quarterback is done. And they've played two garbage quarterbacks so far. So I'm not going to say, I mean, their defense is solid, but I'm not going to say I'm overly impressed with them just yet. And then you get the Broncos, another garbage quarterback. Let's see what you do against Philly, and then let's see what you do against Dallas. But you eked out a win against the terrible-looking Bears, and then you eked out a win against the also, meh, Vikings. So far, not impressed.
One of the things that I do love about this offense right now, Kevin, is it's Oklahoma State. It is an offense that is constructed like a college-style offense of we're just going to score, score, score. I mean, you said in the first game, five straight touchdowns, and they hadn't done that since 2002?
2000.
And then in last week, they had five straight possessions of points.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If this team learns how to score on their first possession, their offense might be unstoppable.
So I'm looking at the Cowboys' schedule, Kevin, and I am going to say win Sunday, win against the Saints, because the Saints are still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. Okay? And go ahead.
Just real quick, people are texting in 877-881-1053. This is where we like to hear your opinion and get the conversation going. Because some people are like, well, they could lose against the Saints. Fair enough. If you think their first loss is against the Saints, let us know. If you think it's the Packers, let us know. But we can agree to disagree. I've put my stance on their first loss comes in week 7. If you disagree, that's fine. Just let us know why.
From the 859, I like this. That Detroit game with them possibly going into it undefeated could be the trap game for them. I get that.
Because that's before New England, right?
I have it lined up. And going against the Lions the week before, I have the Cowboys beating the Lions. The thing I was saying about the college-style offense, it being that kind of thing, is that's pretty explosive for the teams that you know you can beat, right? Like in college football, you don't see these college offenses and defenses keep this pace the entire season. There are a few programs that have the talent to do it. The Cowboys, I believe, have the talent to do it right now. I do think that they have the talent to do this. I'm looking ahead. I'm saying over the Dolphins, over the Saints. I think they get the Packers at home. Speed's going to be back. I think they got the Jets, the Eagles, and the Giants. I think they got the Vikings at home, the Lions too. However, Matt Patricia will be running a defense that Bill Belichick understands against the Cowboys. And that's where I think the Cowboys get their first loss after being 8-0. Or is that 10-0?
I believe 9-0.
9-0.
Oh, no, you're right, 10-0.
They'll be 10-0 going up against the Patriots on the road. And that's where I think the Cowboys get their first loss. I know that's crazy to think because in the NFL you can't do that. Your schedule, I just feel like the Cowboys can step up in two straight weeks against the Saints and the Packers, and then there are going to be a couple of cruises from there on.
I'll tell you this. If that's how it goes down, November 24th, the sports world is going to stop. Because if you have a 10-0 Cowboys team, the biggest name in all of any professional sports, against New England Patriots.
Who's probably undefeated too at the time.
There's a really good chance. And worst case scenario, what? 9-1, 8-2? And all you'll hear people talk, I don't know when their bye is. All you'll hear people talking about is this a Super Bowl preview, Super Bowl preview? And you'll have the biggest name in the NFL against what has consistently been for a while now, the best team in the NFL. And if those two lock up and they're unquestionably looking like the best teams in the NFL at that point, it's going to be insane. And by the way, for people who doubt that's possible, I was looking down ESPN's percentage predictor about like who they think is going to win each game. Here's the Cowboys percentages against Miami: 96%. We're going to skip the Saints. We'll come back to that one.
Against it's 55 or something?
It's 45.
Oh, it's changed.
Against Green Bay, 60%. Against the Jets, 67%. Against Philly, 64%. That seems weird. Against the Giants, 76%. Against New York, 58%. Against Minnesota, 54%. But the point is, they're going to be favored in every single game, theoretically, with the exception of maybe the New Orleans game. And I still think that regardless of what the ESPN predictor says, that they'll be favored in that game. So there's a good chance that they are favored in all of their first 10 games.
And here's the other thing too, Kevin. And I think a lot of the Tolos out there will agree based on what they're seeing right now. The Cowboys' percentages of being able to win games probably changed a lot from the last 2 years because of the way their offense is running. There's no doubt in my mind that Dak Prescott in the fourth quarter can win a game if needed. All right. If it's a close game and the Cowboys need a sack to get the ball back and put it in Dak's hands to go lead a fourth quarter touchdown drive, I believe he can do it. But the fact that the Cowboys offense, and you can say they played trash so far. That's fine. You know what? They can make the rest of the teams this season look like trash too, and you'll all say that. But the way that their offense is going out there and putting the game out of reach, that's the thing that changes my mind about those 50% games favoring the Cowboys more. Because I know they can win fourth quarter games.
Yes.
But can they go blow out teams and just get away from them altogether? Yeah. And so those two things stand out. I don't feel like this offense can't compete with anything. Whereas last year, if you got behind, I was frightened by trying to come back and win if you're down by two touchdowns, because this offense didn't know how to do it.
I think you make a really great point, because we talked the other day about could Dak morph into an MVP candidate even this year. But if I asked, where does Dak stack up among fourth quarter quarterbacks? Worst case scenario, he's what, second?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe behind Brady, maybe. So, like, I think you're really onto something here. And so you look down the list of quarterbacks you're going to face, you're going to take Dak in the clutch over every single one of them up until you roll into that New England game. And I responded to this person on the fan text. We might as well talk about it on air. Somebody said, well, the Cowboys face garbage quarterbacks too. That is true. But the point is, I'm not here hyping up the Cowboys defense as the reason that they're going to win. I'm hyping up their offense. Green Bay's offense has looked terribly underwhelming thus far, whereas the Cowboys offense has looked freaking awesome. And that has nothing to do with the quarterback you face.
Do you think, here's the other thing. Do you think that the Cowboys defense can carry them if Dak has a bad game?
I haven't seen it yet, which is weird, because I think yes.
Right.
And it's very odd that,
you feel that based on what you've seen the last year.
Exactly, and the personnel that you know are back there. It's really weird that we're having this conversation 2 weeks in. We talked about this the other day. The NFL changes so quickly. It's remarkable. And so it's amazing to me that in just 2 weeks, the narrative has gone from, well, sure, we think the defense is top five, but can the offense carry the day? And now we're like, well, the offense is clearly top five. When's the defense going to step up? That took 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So to your point, Corey, yes, because I believe that the defense was going to be really good to begin with. So I still buy in. But if we could see a bunch of sacks and turnovers on Sunday, 12 o'clock kick, 9 a.m. pregame right here on The Fan, that would make me feel much better.
From the 931, thanks for jinxing us. As Tom Billick always says, any given Sunday.
Okay, yes, that is somebody Sharif, who definitely listens.
Go tweet Sharif about Tom Billick. It'll be his favorite part of the evening. From the 214, they are a Packers fan and the Cowboys scare them. And I like that. I like hearing that, because they don't know what their team is right now. They're still trying to figure out what the dynamic between their coach and their quarterback, and if that offense is going to be what it's been, or if it's going to go stale. And they're trying to figure out what that team actually is right now. From the 214, losing against the Patriots at home. Well, we're on the road, I think, in that game.
Yes.
But they say it's going to be tough if they're healthy. From the 903, we don't lose against the Eagles because Carson will be hurt by then, and we won't have to worry about them scoring, Kevin.
Interesting. That's an interesting point. I hadn't particularly considered that. But, you know, that's the game where I think it's going to be tough for people to argue against their schedule. So, you already see it. People are always looking to knock the Cowboys down. So they haven't played anybody good so far. Fair enough. You beat the Dolphins, that's not going to change. You beat the Saints, well, that's not going to change because people are like, well, they don't have Drew Brees. And then if they beat the Packers, I think people are going to be like, well, Aaron Rodgers isn't as good as he used to be. Then the Jets are terrible. So I think you could conceivably go 6-0 and people are going to be like, you haven't played anybody. And I'm going to say, well, we're one of at most two 6-0 teams. So why don't you be quiet?
So I guess my question is, if you're saying the Cowboys haven't played anybody, what are you saying their weakness is? Well, if you're the kind of person that feels like just because the opponents that you've gone up against so far are the reason that you have the wins, then what is going to be the reason that you think the Cowboys will lose against a superior opponent? What have you seen so far that says, well, that's not going to work? Because so far, and somebody said they have to play the run better and force third and longs. I agree.
Fair enough.
But they've also been able to get off the field on third down, and that's an important factor. Now, if you face a team that was really good at converting third downs the way the Cowboys' offense has been, then that's going to be a problem all day for you because the Cowboys' offense won't be able to be on the field to control the game. But I haven't seen anything that tells me that the Cowboys can't win against a superior opponent.
Okay, a couple of ridiculous points here that I definitely... Okay, good. They're from the same person. That makes me feel better. Dak is still average. What a terrible opinion through 2 weeks. Like, what? That is based on nothing except your dislike of Dak Prescott. You can't watch the first 2 weeks of football and say he's still average, at least in this season. You're going off your old metrics, and we talked about that before. Things change really quickly in the NFL. Why do you think it's so hard to establish any semblance of a dynasty and why what the Patriots have done is so amazing? Things change. Things are going to be very much different in 3 weeks. And that same person said, y'all beat the worst teams in the NFL, and now you think you're top five. So check this out. I want to run a little exercise real quick, Corey. I'm going to go through all the undefeated teams. You tell me, are they better than the Cowboys or not?
Okay.
Patriots.
Yes.
All right, that's one. The Bills.
No.
The Ravens.
Push.
What? No. The Chiefs.
Yes.
All right. The Packers.
No.
The Rams.
I have to give them the nod because they were in the Super Bowl last year.
49ers.
No.
Seahawks.
No.
All right, so there you go. So you say Cowboys are fifth. I say Cowboys are fourth. And people can argue all they want. I'm just saying through 2 weeks, because that's all you have to judge on. You can, like, go ahead and push it down the road and say, well, I don't think the Cowboys are going to win 10 games. Fair enough. But that's not based on anything you've seen thus far. The Cowboys have played two games, and don't be deceived by the score. They have annihilated their opponents in both games. Before they stop caring, they beat the Giants by 25 points and beat the Redskins by 17 on the road. They have crushed their opponents until garbage time when they pulled their players out.
All right, then, Kevin, two things. First off, from the 972, I'm not a big fan of Dak, but he's making me a fan this year. And number two, based on everything you just told me, is getting me all freaking fired up right now. The next time the Cowboys lose is going to be preseason next year.
Because, again, we wouldn't have our players in. Well, I think we would all celebrate that. And I would really hope every Metroplex person would admit they were wrong if we went 19-0. They'd be like, I'm wrong, and I don't really care.
No, because there would still be people going, Dak's still not good enough.
I still think Dak is trash.
Kellen's not any good.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Here's a fun suggestion for everybody. If you love the Cowboys, just enjoy that they're winning. Coming up next, big anniversary coming up, so we ask the question, what's the best miracle or buzzer-beating play you have ever seen? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, I love seeing stuff like this. Whenever we ask for something on the KNC Masterpiece and the fan text starts pouring in before we even get the segment started. 877-881-1053. Your favorite walk-off, buzzer beater,
Miracle finish.
Game-ending moment. 877-881-1053. Just text it in right now. We're about to get to every single one of them, Kevin. The reason we are bringing this up, though, is there's a story out today. It's because the anniversary of our good
25th anniversary.
Our good friend Cordell Stewart, who was with us all last year. It was awesome to talk to him all year last year. Had the Hail Mary pass to Michael Westbrook to beat the to win for Colorado against Michigan 27-26. And I think everybody, and I was talking to my wife about this, Kevin. It's really weird because my anniversary with my wife is 13 years this weekend.
Yep.
And I was like, but I'm really looking forward to the 15th year. Like, I can't enjoy 14 because I have to get to the round number. Is that what it is?
Okay.
Because we as humans have to always celebrate. Like, this is the 25th year. We couldn't have celebrated this last year on the 24th year, but because it's the 25th year anniversary, it's something special.
Right.
Like the 100-year anniversary of the NFL. You know, for some people, it means a lot. Anyway, Michael Westbrook says that he gets letters in the mail every year of pictures of him catching that pass and falling into the end zone for the win. And he says he always signs them, puts them in a folder or in an envelope that's already stamped and sends it back to wherever
they came
from. It would
be messed up if he just kept them all and signed them for his own personal collection. I'd be like, you're a weirdo.
But it was a 72-yard pass in the air that bounced into the hands of Westbrook. And now millions of views on YouTube. It's amazing.
So I was thinking about, and we're getting a bunch of response here, 877-881-1053. What is your favorite, like, game winner, miracle winner, buzzer beater, whatever it is? And I wanted to go ahead, before we read some of the fan texts, I wanted to go ahead and throw mine out there. If you've ever heard, probably not too surprising that it comes from the magical year of 1992. Right here on the Fan.
With Duke in the NCAA championship game.
A quick pass to half court and call a quick timeout so they can get in better shooting range.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
The 1992 East Regional Finals, where mighty Duke, who has never gotten in trouble with the NCAA for anything, defeated Kentucky in a game filled with future NBA All-Stars to win on their way to a second consecutive national championship. And I remember that because I was a kid at the time, and Duke had won the national championship the year before. And I remember my mom telling me, she goes, well, it's okay. They can't win every year. And then they made that shot, and I did laps around the house.
Did you stun on your mom at that point? Were you pointing in her face and yelling at her about how they won?
I don't think so, because I was too busy answering phone calls on my landline. Like, what? That's how dated this story is. I think we might have even still had a rotary phone in the house at that time. And you're like, hold on, what year did this take place? So people were calling me, and they were hyped up. They knew I was hyped up. It was freaking awesome, especially as a kid. It was the best thing, and that's one of the most iconic college basketball games ever.
See, at least in your moment, Kevin, you were sitting there watching it happen with somebody in the room.
Sure.
Some of my favorite sports memories, I have been alone watching a game. Because my wife doesn't love watching sports with me.
Okay.
Or, you know, I'm watching the kids, and they're asleep, and, you know, and I'm not out with my buddies. And it's like that picture of Roy Williams I have. I have a picture of Roy Williams leveling Tatum Bell.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember watching that moment. It was Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I'm at my grandparents' house sitting for him. Adrian's up at OU, and he levels him. And I stood up and started screaming and then looked around and was like, oh, dang, nobody's here. And that's how most of my great sports memories are.
It could be worse. One time I woke Brandon up when he was a baby because an NCAA buzzer beater, and I started yelling, and I forgot he was, like, sleeping, and then he started to cry. I was like, oh, my bad.
Yeah, and you know what? 2 weeks ago when the Cowboys were at home, I started clapping and screaming. My dog Landry jumped up in my wife's lap because he's a 97-pound dog. He jumped up in her lap because he's scared. But the my favorite walk-off moment really stands out to me, and it does involve Nelson Cruz.
Oh, my God.
guys.
You're not gonna
the Tigers.
Is this the good one.
The Tigers and the Rangers were supposed to play Game 2 of the 2011 ALCS on the 9th, but we had a 40-minute rain delay, and so they moved it to Monday, the 10th, to avoid a repeat performance. You know, they didn't want it to rain and everything. So Cruz had hit a solo home run in Game 1. And then he followed it up with a two-dinger performance in Game 2. The second one, though, came in the bottom of the 11th with the bases loaded.
Carry to the set. Now to the plate. Cruz is swinging a high fly down the left field line. It is hooking deep in the corner. Way back. That ball is history. A walk-off grand slam for Nelson Cruz.
Oh, hell yeah.
I could not rewatch that enough. The next day, Kevin, every time it was on, every time I heard it, every time it happened, I rewatched it and rewatched it and rewatched it. And it's because that moment, I mean, that was the first ever recorded walk-off grand slam in MLB history.
The not surprising
in the postseason.
To you, from the 682, from the 214, and from the 972, they all said the Nelson Cruz walk-off grand slam with varying levels of exclamation points.
And I, Kevin, was all by myself in the living room when that happened. Aww. And Adrian was asleep because she had to go to work or something. And I saw that happen and I jump up and I scream and I'm by myself. You know what? He went on to hit three more home runs in the final four games of that series.
Yeah, and he
had six in the ALCS.
The easiest ALCS MVP selection maybe in history.
He set a record for most home runs in an MLB postseason series.
You know, this is interesting because this is like a miracle non-finish, but I've seen multiple people talking about the Super Bowl for the 99 season between the Titans and Rams, with the Titans coming up 1 yard short. So that's like a fascinating kind of alternate.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a miracle finish. It was a miracle almost finish.
I won $1,300 because
you picked
of that.
The Rams.
I picked
to win
the Rams
Super Bowl
like 3 games into the season.
Ooh.
By the way, somebody said we actually got cheap outfield tickets because of that rain delay and got to see the Grand Slam live.
Shut up.
And
that's
he said
awesome.
I lost it whenever the ball went past the foul pole. And I it was amazing, man.
Because if you heard that call, you could hear like
chills.
A little bit of Eric Nadell's trepidation that it might go foul. And then when you realize it's not and the fans realize it's not, and they're all losing their freaking minds.
Oh, man. And you know what was even worse? If you watched it and saw Joe Buck in his call, it was just atrocious. This is how it went. The ball got hit. It went clack. And it goes out and he goes, and this one's over.
Because he hates the Rangers.
He hates the Rangers.
I've seen a couple for the Brett Hull Stanley Cup winner.
I don't know. I remember it. I remember the moment. I do not remember the call. And my reason being, I was exhausted from 87 different overtimes by that point.
Yep.
I was exhausted just waiting for something to happen. And again, it's not like it was an exciting one-timer. You know,
yeah.
it was a scrum around the net,
yeah.
And it wasn't something that was a hockey play that you're just like, oh my gosh, can you believe that happened? But it was a moment that just was indefinite, you know, or it was inevitable that was going to happen at some point, and it did.
But you also thought, could we make it to the morning? Is there a curfew on this thing?
And then I did go run through the streets after that.
Well, and like I remember, because I think you're really on to something. I don't think I remember that call because I was with a group of people and we all just started yelling.
Yes.
And watching them run around and stuff. And then we all started to try to find out if there was going to be a shop open in the middle of the night selling Dallas Stars Stanley Cup championship gear. Because I was also, you know, like 19 at this point. Make a lot of terrible decisions at that age. You're like, yeah, let's go to the shop at 3 a.m. and buy a hat.
I just graduated high school. You know, I graduated in 99, so I just graduated high school, so I really had no plans for the rest of my life at that point.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. People tell you they got their life planned out in high school. You're like, do you? Now, this is a great one, too, and I think we'll talk about this more next week. From the 469, Naftali Feliz striking out A-Rod in the ALCS. From the 512, we talked about this in Crosstalk. Tyler John Tyler in 94, the walk-off kick return touchdown for the win, won an ESPY. I also think, I mean, if you've never seen it, do yourself a favor. Just go to YouTube or the internets, type in 1994 Plano East Tyler John Tyler. The entire video should be about 5 minutes long, and it should give you the last, I think, 3.5 minutes of the game. It is truly astonishing because it's like 41-17 and you're thinking, what? Why would I watch this game? And just watch it all play out.
All right, so somebody just pointed out Michael Jordan over the Jazz.
Push-off.
Yeah.
Is that Byron Russell?
But here from the 972, and I can't believe I forgot about this one, Calvin Booth with the tip-in for the first playoff series win against Utah. That one right there, Kevin, I was with a bunch of friends, and I remember losing my mind, and we went fishing and drinking beer afterwards.
Always a good celebration, but God bless that person for bringing that up. Just to show you how dated that is, I watched that with a bunch of friends in a Bennigan's, which is not even around anymore, but I remember how...
No, we don't. Yeah. We really don't.
Turkey O'Toole, at least.
Oh, yeah. That brownie bottom pie. What's up? And so I remember we were all so tense because, like, you had become the worst franchise in all of sports, not just the NBA, all of sports. Finally made your return to the playoffs and like, oh my God, you might win. And it's game five. I think that was a best of five series. And yeah, you win with the Calvin Booth tip in, and everybody in the Bennigan's lost their freaking mind. Now, I didn't like this one, but this is a really good one from the 817. That Ray Allen three-pointer from Miami in Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Remember,
it's a legit shot, man.
They were about to lose to the Spurs, and that series was over. But he hits that shot, and then they win in Game 7 and, like, prolong that dynasty. Then they get curb stomped the next year. But still.
From the 682, did y'all talk about the Vince Carter buzzer beater against the Spurs yet? And that was awesome. That was an awesome moment, Kevin. I remember coming in to work the next day because we were on a weekend show, and we were talking about that because I'd talked to you about Vinsanity. Yep. I was so excited that he was coming to the Mavericks and we were getting part of that circus. You know, it just the fact that that guy made some rounds throughout his career and landed in Dallas for a little bit, I loved it because I loved Vince Carter. So being able to see that moment happen, that was a really big moment because everybody thought somebody else was getting that shot. And he gets it, and he pump fakes and still drills the shot. It was awesome.
We're getting some Bennigan's information from the 817. Dear Lord, I miss those ultimate nachos. And then from a different 817, fun fact, the Bennigan's Monte Cristo, which I loved, 5,500 calories. Well, I used to not care about that.
From the 817, Cody Parkey's walk-off in the playoffs last year.
Double doink.
Ouch. From the 469, I absolutely remember this. The Zeke walk-off, week 10 in 2016 against the Steelers. Goodbye, Zeke. Because I felt like winning that game was really a game that people were like, holy crap, did they just beat the Steelers?
Yeah.
And that was a game where you felt like if we got the ball, we were going to score.
From the 214, Babe Ruth calling us. You weren't there. You didn't see Babe Ruth. You got to see it. Yeah. Be like, I watched it on YouTube. You got to see it.
This is a good one that I know a lot of people remember, and certain members of our audience, this might be like when they were little as well, from the 6-3-1 injured Kirk Gibson pinch hitting for the walk-off home run. And that was that was game one of the 88 World Series, maybe 89, I think it was 88, against Kirk Gibson against Dennis Eckersley. And you had the amazing call of, I don't believe what I just saw from Vin Scully, and it was awesome.
All right, Kevin, I guess the last one to cap this thing off. Just like the Rams-Titans game where it ended with a warped way of looking at it, Dirk went lefty layup, right? And that was a wonderful moment. But the final shot was out of Dwayne Wade's hands. Remember? And he got knocked. He fell on the ground and was complaining about getting hit. And Dirk standing over him with his fist in the air, celebrating with his teammates.
Ha ha.
That was one of those awesome moments right there.
Bunch of people shouting out the kick six as well. I'm sure Parker would be sad if we did not mention Auburn beating Alabama. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the top five surprises thus far in the 2019 NFL season. We'll do it right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Dallas Truck World. Dallas Truck World has over 800 pre-owned trucks, SUVs, and cars to choose from, and all come with a 7-day return policy for peace of mind shopping.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, we've got the Rangers in action tonight. We're going to turn things over to Jared Sandler at 8:30, and then the Rangers will take it away. One more week of Rangers baseball here on The Fan, and then we'll be going 7 to 11 every night, Mondays and Thursdays included. You know, in the past, we've had Monday and Thursday night football on, but the boss was like, look, you guys are so good, I want to give you all more opportunities.
Yeah.
And I want you all to be on the air, so make sure you're bringing all the Tolos in. And so all the Tolos out there who have been Master Peeps with us, we're going to be there Monday and Thursday night as well. We need you every single night. Text it in and being part of the show, 877-881-1053. Your top five surprises so far in the 2019 NFL season. We'll get to them in just a moment. But before we do, Kevin, there's some fantastic Mike Leach audio that is in existence right now. Now, I did not know that Gardner Minshew was committed to another school before he became who he is. All right. I did not know this about him. But right now, he is the guy that the Jaguars need.
Yes, I have some fun stats about him in a little bit.
And this is very interesting because Mike Leach was on with Rich Eisen, who, by the way, Kevin, I don't know if I told you this or not, Rich Eisen tweeted back to me once after I said something nice to him.
Oh, and I like Rich Eisen.
Rich Eisen might be one of my favorite broadcasters of all time. He's a class act. I really like the guy. But Mike Leach was on with Rich Eisen, and he was talking about Gardner Minshew. And this is what he had to say about recruiting him.
About the time we sort out that, you know, we want to recruit him, he'd committed to Alabama. And so we figured we'd call him anyway because we knew we threw it more than Alabama did. And so we called him up and said, you know, hey, you want to hold a clipboard at Alabama or you want to lead the nation in passing? And he came to Washington State.
Is that how you put it? Did you really put it that way to him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, yeah, I'm not a beat around the bush guy.
That's right. So he just told him, do you want to lead the nation in passing or do you want to be a backup? And that was the decision. That's what sold it for Gardner Minshew was, I want to go throw the ball. I want opportunities to go be a better passer, learn from one of the best offensive minds in college football, and get an opportunity to actually be a passing quarterback, because if I go to the NFL, I want to pass the ball, and I want to be looked at as a quarterback.
So that got me to thinking about what an effective recruiting tool that could be. And I was telling you the story of Alec Morris. Alec Morris was a quarterback at Allen.
Bayside High School?
No, not Zach Morris. Alec Morris was a quarterback at Allen, and he had committed to Wake Forest. He had verbally committed to Wake Forest, and I had talked to him about that. But then you got the sense that, like, it was about to change. And so when I talked to him again later, like, it was changing. And he was, like, as soon as he committed to Wake Forest, Alabama was like, oh, no, this is one of the people we kind of wanted. So then they swooped in, and they gave him an offer. And, like, I understand it's probably really hard to turn down a scholarship offer from Alabama.
Absolutely.
But I think that ended up being a mistake for Alec Morris. It's really hilarious the way it got spun on the North Texas Mean Green Sports website, because they said he was on their national championship teams in 2012 and 14. He played 3 games this season, 4 games this season. Here's what you need to know. Alec Morris was at Alabama for 4 years. He threw 1 pass. So that's...
Wow.
Yeah. That was in his 4th year when he was there. So
they didn't, like, get that opportunity.
For the most part, he was the number 3 quarterback. And I like to think that had he stuck with Wake Forest, he would have, I mean, obviously he would have had a better opportunity to play, but he would have had a pretty decent chance to start probably pretty quickly. And then he ended up going Alabama, and then he wasn't able to transfer until, I believe, after he was a graduate transfer at North Texas. And that was finally the opportunity he got to play 4 years after he started college.
From the 214, and I think that this is Jeff's number. I don't think Zach Morris played any real sports, maybe basketball and an occasional wrestling match against A.C. Slater. I
definitely think Zach Morris and A.C. Slater wrestled together sometime.
Yeah, and Zach didn't want to wrestle. He didn't want to fight in that fight. You can go back and watch. He did not want to fight in that fight. All right, Kevin, let's hit these five big surprises up in the NFL in week two. What will be the biggest surprise at the end of week three? Whenever everything's said and done with after week three, what's going to be the biggest surprise to you? Number one, the Packers are 2-0 despite scoring only 31 points.
Yeah, look, I mean, people are just now catching up to this, but the time of Aaron Rodgers being elite is over, and you just need to accept that. Like, he can still be a good player, and there's nothing wrong with being a good player. But, you know, if you've been watching him the last couple of years, there's been all kinds of excuses being made. But I think after the beginning of the season, you just have to kind of accept the fact that Aaron Rodgers is not an elite quarterback anymore.
I think he can still, he has an elite arm still.
Or could have an elite game.
I think, yeah, he has those opportunities. I do think that he's lost a rhythm. And I don't think the rest of the team around him is that. But they are 2-0. And maybe they're just warming up. Kevin, you remember what were they like? Where were they? What was their record at the time when he said RELAX?
Yeah,
and
they
took them to the playoffs.
Record, yeah.
And
but then he choked in the playoffs like he usually does.
Except for that one time when he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and that was at the very beginning of his career when there were no expectations. Every time there's expectations on Aaron Rodgers, he fails. Don't forget that.
It was at AT&T Stadium.
Mm.
Green Bay won a Super Bowl at AT&T Stadium.
Yeah. We don't make it to Super Bowls.
Surprise number two. I want to get that drop. Surprise. Number two, the Buffalo Bills are 2-0.
This, I have to admit, is shocking. Now, I know that they beat the Jets and the Giants, but I did like the Bills coming out and saying, yeah, we're the real New York football team.
Yeah, they own New York.
I mean, they've won the New York State Championship, so that's already wrapped up. So I appreciate that.
At the moment, the defense is one of the best in the league, and Josh Allen is like gaining confidence week by week, and he already knows that he's the better quarterback out of him and Sam Darnold out of that draft.
No.
So yes, he is. When are you just going to admit? But I like that's
only a devastating medical condition could take down Sam Darnold.
If you had told me that the Packers were going to be 2-0, I would have been like, oh, okay, I sure get it. But if you'd have said, but they're only going to have 31 points in the first two games, I'd have been like, no, you're wrong. If you told me the Bills were going to be 2-0, I'd have punched you in the face and said, never talk about football again. Mm-hmm. However, here we are.
By the way, they're 6-point favorites this weekend against the craptacular Bengals.
Yeah, they're going to be 3-0. They're going to be 3-0 this week, Kevin. And that's when we're going to be come back and be a surprise.
Then they host the Patriots, where I feel like the hype train will probably come to a crashing halt.
877-881-1053. Go ahead and text in what's been the biggest surprise to you. Number three, the Baltimore Ravens have scored a league high 82 points. This is a Ravens team that with Joe Flacco could not score.
Now, this is at least like a little bit due to getting to curb stomp the Dolphins, but I do appreciate how awesome Lamar Jackson has looked. He, like, it's always one of those things where you see somebody play well in the NFL that played well in college, and you're like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
But then you're all these people, old-timey people, are like, you can't play quarterback running around the football field. And then you realize, oh, hey, you were really good against elite college athletes, and you're really good against elite pro athletes. Oh, that makes sense. So I've been really happy to watch him like assert himself as a real deal quarterback.
I guess the other question too is now do you love the fact that he wouldn't run during the combine and during everything else? He wouldn't run. He refused to. And he didn't want to run for people at workouts either. He was like, I don't want them to know that only about me. Yeah. I want them to know that I can throw the ball and take my game film and then say that quarterback can't play.
My favorite quote of the season thus far was him saying, not bad for a wide receiver.
Running back.
Running back. Yeah. And I was like, oh, just tremendous. And
must have really been your favorite.
I mean, yeah, obviously it really stuck with me. I forgot the position, but you understand the point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love that. And he's a legitimate MVP candidate, especially if they beat the Chiefs. If he outplayed Pat Mahomes, holy crap, would the NFL be put on notice.
And don't forget, last year that was a game that was tight going into the end of it. So, you know, we could get a repeat.
Is that the best game of this weekend, you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, except for the Cowboys-Dolphins game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, half of that game.
Mm-hmm. Number four, the Steelers are fighting for their lives in week three.
Is that surprising?
Yes.
I am surprised by that, I have to admit.
Is that the kind of team that just always feels like they, hey, all right, guys, we finally got to this point, so now it's time for us to start playing
again.
Well,
I mean, this is a team we have to remember with, I mean, pretty much otherworldly talent was still producing the way that they were producing previously. Plus, we had an aging Ben Roethlisberger, and we noticed that as recently as, what, 2-3 seasons ago?
Yeah, I just thought they were going to reboot with Connor and Juju Smith-Schuster looking like they could replace at least a bulk of the output that their predecessors had put up. So, like, I'm not saying I thought they were going to win the AFC, but I did not think they were going to get trucked that hard by the Patriots. And then at least they were competitive against Seattle. But, yeah, at 0-2 and you're at the 49ers and you're the underdog, I don't know what to think anymore.
The other thing, number five on this list, the biggest surprises at week two, or I guess we start week three, but so many big-name quarterbacks aren't going to play in week three. Cam, not going to play. Drew Brees, out. Ben Roethlisberger, out. Nick Foles, I mean, that's not a big name, but Sam Darnold.
Big money.
Eli Manning. Like, that's a bunch of, you say big money, that's a lot of FaceTime. For quarterbacks, like historic FaceTime right there, just missing from the NFL. And it's very weird.
Well, and I was reading a really interesting article about how you're getting to the end of the 2004 quarterback class because, you know, you just mentioned Eli got benched, then Roethlisberger out for the year. Some people have questions about the way that the Chargers have started the season. And I mean, I know it's always inevitable, but it's still always surprising to me when you see like so many people who have been so good for so long all kind of fall off, especially if they all kind of fall off in the same time period. And so watching the 2004 quarterback class start to kind of collapse all in the last couple of weeks has been pretty amazing.
Here's an interesting surprise that kind of is a little breaking information. Jane Slater says Bryce Butler said that he worked out for the Raiders today ahead of the trip for Minnesota.
And he's still trying to play football?
He says, knock if you're with me, boys.
He said he would love to rejoin the team and Derek Carr, and he believes he could be another weapon for them on the outside.
Ah, from the 936, my biggest surprise so far, the Cowboys have actual Super Bowl hype.
That's legitimate.
Yeah, because like they always have
we've had
some
moments,
sort of hype.
We've had years where I've said, hey, let's do this. It's going to be it. And we've been, you know, on the verge, but it wasn't real. I think this is real. I think looking at this team, it's a very real thing. From the 5-3-0, biggest surprise for me is the Cowboys' new receiving core. We went from having Cole Beasley, Allen Hurns, and Noah Brown to having Gallup, Cobb, Tavon Austin, Devin Smith, and Amari Cooper. And I'm no longer jealous of the Eagles' receiving core.
Ooh, I like that. From the 903, I'm surprised Tom Brady would cry about the officials when he gets roughing calls automatically no matter what, especially since you heard the Dolphins players, like the refs, getting onto him. Hey, leave Tom alone. He's an old man.
From the 214, Dax long balls are surprising. Usually it doesn't happen until, never mind, like later on in the season.
Did they say till never?
Well, they just didn't think he was going to be able to throw the long ball.
I mean, I don't know why. Like, you started to see that connection come together with Gallup last year. And, like, I know people are going to go, well, yeah, but he missed a bunch of those throws. Well, yeah, that's usually what happens when you make long throws.
But he also didn't get many opportunities.
But you saw it getting better. Like, I thought I saw it getting better. So I'm not that surprised by that.
From the 817, top surprise so far this year, the Titans blowing out the Browns. 2 weeks later, losing to the Jaguars.
Man, that is a great point because how quickly the hype train stopped on the Cleveland Browns when they got destroyed by the Titans. So I think that's a very fair point. I have to admit, I was pretty surprised
by that.
From
the 214, Zeke isn't suspended. From the 631, Melvin Gordon is still holding out.
Hey, you heard Melvin Gordon. He said, I'll play for a team. He did not clarify which team, but he said, I'll play for a team.
And somebody said, you know, Austin Eckler's a surprise. I don't know. If you saw him play last year, because he played a lot, because Melvin Gordon gets hurt a lot. If you saw him play last year, he's a good running back.
And I mean, that's a well-coached team.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a fast running back. He's good. So, I don't know, man. I think that's not as much of a surprise, but I totally get it because you think a team shouldn't succeed when they don't have one of their best players. But they are doing okay right now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where Gardner Minshew was awesome, but also kind of an idiot. Next on The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.